And welcome to the iPhone and iPad gaming podcast from Pocket Gamer. I'm your host, Will Wilson, and with me is John Jordan and Keith Andrew.
Hey.
Haven't we done this before?
Yes, we have done this before, but through the magic of recording, no one will know that I forgot to press the record button earlier.
Not even convinced you're recording now, to be honest.
I am recording now. Honestly, I'm recording now. I am very tired, listeners, hence the mistake earlier. I will explain why I'm tired in a bit. But for now, let's go on to the news, because you've already done it all before. So we'll have to make this quite exciting, everyone. pretend you haven't heard it.
News!
Okay, first up in the news this week is one of those patent cases. It's Lodzis. Who has been approaching a company which holds a couple of patents, has been approaching small companies. Stop laughing. I know we've done this before. They don't know it, though. It's the first time. yes. So this is the first time Keith has experienced the magic of a recording failure. Listeners, if you're wondering why he's cracking up in the background. Why he's being so unprofessional. Anyway.
I'm trying to remember what the hell I said.
You don't have to remember. You don't have to say the same thing. They're not going to test you. okay, so yes, they hold patents for a number of things. One of which is the button for in-app purchases.
Now you're stealing my lines. You're giving things across as if you worked this out.
Yes, this is the beauty of a failed recording. Yeah, I no longer sound inept and yes, so they've patented the button for in-app purchases. and have gone across to a number of small companies, including the maker of PCalc. Yeah, and threaten them with legal action unless they pay some cash. Seems a bit weird to me, though.
How much cash was it, Will?
Can you remember?
$5,000. No, it was 0.315%.
No, not quite, but you know. As long as their lawyers aren't listening.
It is really weird. I wonder how they worked out. Because it's such an odd figure, 0.575. I mean, how could you work out that that's, you know, it's just really odd, isn't it? I mean, obviously you have to come up with some figure, but why would you do...
I think they've gone for something. Well, yeah, the fact it goes down to that many decimal points is a bit strange, but I suspect they've gone for something small to try and tempt people into saying, oh, well, I'm not paying for a lawyer. I'll just pay that.
Yeah.
They haven't gone after Apple, though. Just the small guys, right?
Just the small guys. Well, which is what I was saying earlier, Will, to myself, it would appear, that's what makes me feel a little bit dirty about the whole thing. It's all a bit seedy in my book.
So yeah, but it's weird. So they said on their website, there's kind of a Q&A on their website. It says, oh, we're trying to force Apple to take a license by pressuring iOS developers here. No, that's not what's happening. Apple is licensed for its nameplate products and services, quite whatever that means. And then it also goes on to say Google and Microsoft are also similarly licensed. But
the thing is, if it wasn't seedy and they knew that they had this license, that they had got this patent in place, then why, you know, when how long it was ago now, when in-app purchase came in, didn't they say, well, hang on, everyone, you know, this, we actually own this you know, part of what you're doing here, we have a patent on. Why wait until now, until people have made money, obviously, to then come out with it?
I think you just answered your own question there.
I think.
Actually, I have to say, the thing I really like about this Q&A is the next question, where it says, I develop on Apple, why isn't Apple responsible? So the wording is, the scope of their current licenses does not enable them to provide, in quote marks, pixie dust to bless other third-party business applications. I love that idea. They're talking about all this legal stuff and blah, 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 and then suddenly they introduce pixie dust into the equation, like a lawyer's going, oh, have you got any pixie dust? Oh, no.
Well, the whole thing, I mean, they talk about death threats not being cool, and the whole thing is written really weirdly, and to be honest, reminds me the way it's written in the kind of odd, confusing way. It reminds me of what old Edge Games, how they used to write their kind of challenges for the Edge name. It's that same kind of language where if they bamboozle you enough with weird terminology. You won't actually see what they're saying, and therefore you can't actually challenge them because you don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Hmm. I mean, I kind of think it would be much more, from their point of view, much more sensible to say this is a kind of patent thing. I think it's very hard to actually, if you even have a proper patent, it's very hard to argue it as a percentage of revenue. I think it's much more obvious. I mean, you can kind of say you've raised this much in the past and you get percentage of that, but ongoing, I think it's very hard to argue that. You basically, what happens is you say, here's a technology, I want to use it, I'll pay you X fixed sum. So this, you know, I think this wouldn't be an issue if they would say, sent through to everyone who'd used in-app purchases and charged them $50, because, you know, that's fine. Most people wouldn't, but they get a certain amount of money and it would go away. I mean, the weird thing is, this is, you know, I think this will go away. I don't think they're going to, you know, they're not going to take anyone to court, are they? I don't think. Because the one person they did take to court would just get so much help from kind of lawyers working for them for free. You know, I think it's, you know.
Well, yeah, you would hope. I mean, I'm hoping Apple are going to say something about the whole thing.
I don't think Apple will. I think Apple don't say anything about their own things, do they? When there are issues, Apple is just going to keep well clear of it.
The problem is, I mean, a lot of what the tweets of a lot of the developers have been hit by have been saying is they've kind of been looking to Apple to say almost in just as solidarity. Whether they actually do anything, they're kind of think in terms of keeping the development community happy. I think a lot of them would like Apple to say at least they're not, you know, happy with this or you know, something, words to that effect. It just the problem, as I said last time, which none of you will have heard, the concern is that if everyone pays this, or even if a few people pay this, then it will become known that they paid this, and other people who have dodgy patents might decide to try and threaten them as well.
Gives legitimacy to it.
There's another one anyway, isn't there, Keith?
This I've just written about it. This one's slightly different, though, isn't it? And it's talking about the sending of data for, I suppose, I don't know whether it's for marketing purposes or what, but basically the sending of data across apps, I assume, consumer data. Someone is claiming they have some kind of patent on that and are already suing 10, is it? I think it might be 10 people, 10 developers for that in Texas, I think. I need to read more about that. I just know from this one, this Lodsys or whatever, it just seems to me a bit nasty.
Anyway, moving patent cases, let's move on to games. There's been an update to Infinity Blade, which introduces the long-awaited multiplayer mode, which was announced before the game even launched, so it's taken quite a while, but it's finally here. John, do you want to talk more about what the multiplayer mode entails? One player plays a Titan, right?
Yeah, so basically it's a head-to-head kind of thing, as you would imagine from what's that funny noise? From Infinity Blade.
That's Keith laughing at the fact that I sound much more professional this time.
No, I was just getting my keys there. Don't worry.
Okay. So basically you have a seven rounds. Best of seven rounds, and you alternate between the knight and the titan, as sort of the character you play. As you'd kind of imagine, for most people, when they feel more comfortable playing the knight, because that's what we've all played in the main Infinity Blade, so we kind of know the moves if we can remember exactly what to do. And the kind of the knight is the kind of faster, kind of you can dodge and all that kind of stuff. Whereas the titan controls the titan is like more kind of clumsy anyway, so obviously he's got much bigger kind of hits if he does hit you, but most of the time it seems to be because people aren't very experienced in using the controls, and their new controls, like kind of slider controls to decide which kind of attacks you want to make. People playing Titans are getting whooped.
Maybe it's a balancing thing.
Well, it could be. Yeah, I mean, it can be a balancing thing. It can obviously just be an experience thing, can't it? I guess it's obviously they can't. Well, I don't know. I guess there's no reason that they couldn't let knights fight knights, but obviously they decided for game design purposes.
I guess it's a bit harder though, because when you attack with the knight, it's almost instant when you do the attack, which would make it really hard for the other player to do anything, really. I don't know.
You're right. That would, and obviously it would kind of break the experience you've had up to that point and just make it kind of like, oh, we're just like sword fighting. So I guess that's the reason. Yeah, you're right. They've done that.
If you don't have Infinity Blade, it's been reduced in price, especially for the Warfare update. So it's now at £1.79 or $299. Now, Mark Rain did say that they weren't going to reduce the price, they were going to add value to the game. But as we were saying before the recording was cut, it has been quite some time since Infinity Blade launched. So although a commentator is a little bit annoyed, a commentator on the news story, about the fact they have done this and dropped
the price. What have they said, Will?
Actually, let me see if I can...
You read it in a funny voice.
No, DL77 is he's not actually that annoyed, but it's more of a cynical comment saying he's
hoping you do that old school points of view style where you read it out like a posh BBC person.
where he goes to the dear sir.
Yeah.
Watching Crime Watch last night, I was amused to see. It's been a while since Infinity Blade has been out, so a reduction in price now isn't the end of the world.
And I guess we also have to say there's been like loads of content update as well, isn't there?
Oh yeah, sure. There's been a lot.
There's a new survival mode, and there's like
been loads... a couple of dungeons as well added, and lots of new items.
And there's another interesting thing actually, because they were saying before, I was talking to Mark Rain last week at a conference, and he was saying like a third of all the revenue they've made from Infinity Blade is from in-app purchases. And they were saying they were quite surprised at that in total, but equally because a lot of games that do a lot of in-app purchases, you have to kind of have social aspects, which obviously they've not had at all until this update. But also now they've got like a Facebook kind of integration, so you can take your knight and all these tricked out swords and helms and stuff and put that on your Facebook wall. And obviously that's a big thing where then friends compare, how did you get that helm? How did you do that? Blah blah blah. And then obviously that drives people spending money to buy those kind of in-game items. So yeah.
You share a glass of red wine with Mark Rain?
Did I share a glass of red wine? Yes, I did.
You shared several.
I shared several, but I didn't pay for them, so I don't think that counts as he shared them with me. I guess is the more appropriate description of what happened.
Well, moving on to another game which has a sort of similar feeling to it. Monster Hunter is coming to the iPhone. Monster Hunter, huge franchise in Japan. Did it single-handedly pretty much save the PSP?
I think it did. Yeah. Something dying or something like.
It's funny. I wonder how many. I reckon, you know, Will records these every week, and then he actually cuts us out and records them back again with him giving all these smart insights.
I hope you're impressed the fact that I remember all of this stuff as well, and I'm delivering it in a fashion which doesn't sound like I'm just reciting what you said earlier.
Maybe we should do this. Maybe we should have a rehearsal every week.
Oh, God, no. I'm already tired as it is. Although, actually, that would make me appear smarter. So I'm all for it. No. Anyway,
in Japan, it did like, I think in the whole series, it did like 2 or 3 million units, particularly because they had the ad hoc Wi-Fi sharing. And is it like four players, isn't it? You kind of group up and you go around catching hunting monsters.
It's a series that always appealed to me, but I never got it. As in, I never bought a copy.
I don't think anyone outside Japan ever did.
No, I'm pretty sure there's at least one person. anyway, the Monster Hunter version that's coming to the iPhone isn't the full Monster Hunter, but it's Monster Hunter Dynamic Hunting.
Is that the name?
Yeah. And it's coming to Japan in June. It's going to be a worldwide release, so hopefully that includes us as well. But it's very much like, it sounds very much like Infinity Blade. You move by sliding a finger and then attack by tapping this. Oh, actually, the controls are different. But it's a one-on-one challenge, and there doesn't appear to be any exploration as far as I could see. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is exploration. I mean, the normal Dungeon Hunter, Monster Hunter is very much heroes versus a massive beast anyway, so it's not much change there. But anyway, we'll see how it goes, how it pans out. That's Capcom there, developing that one. They got a new studio, iPhone Studio, haven't they? Something about bees.
Something about bees.
That should be the name. Something about bees would be quite good. I remember that one.
Is it Beeline Interactive, actually? Is it
Beeline Interactive?
Beeline. Yeah. But anyway, Final Fantasy Tactics. You guys heard of that game? Apparently it's quite a big turn-based...
No, it wasn't big, no, was it? It was one of these games, like, when nothing was being released for PSP, everyone was like, oh, what are the big games? I think Sony published it over here, didn't they? So it was like a big, oh, really exciting, and it looked amazing.
When I say big, I mean to me personally.
No, it was a big budget, but it was just like, when it came out, it got really great reviews, and just no one bought it, because it was like a Final Fantasy Tactics game, despite it being
Final
lovely.
Final Fantasy Tactics game?
Yeah, but they don't sell it. They don't sell outside Japan because they're not even like Final Fantasy games are kind of like slow enough. Final Fantasy Tactics games is like it's
Tactics
an RPG.
Tactics games are ace.
Yeah, no, but you know you're going to sell at most like 20,000 in the UK. There's people like you who love them, Will, but there's not very many of you, thankfully.
People like you.
We're slowly breeding you out because
you know what kind of people there are a lot of though in the UK. People who just buy first-person shooters. Would you prefer the egomaniacs or the people who buy COD? Actually, I buy Call of Duty as well. I don't know what that makes me. I buy pretty much everything. But anyway, late June, mid-July is the release date for Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions now. iPad version will follow shortly after. Considering that they've said so many dates so far, I wouldn't take that as a given. But hopefully they're coming to the end of this very prolonged development period, especially prolonged considering they already made the game before. So we're not quite sure what they're doing. But hopefully they've been sprucing it up, making it look nicer or doing something at least.
Changing the fonts, that's what they're
doing. Changing the fonts, yeah, probably have.
Takes a long time to change fonts.
Yes, so what else have we got? We have, oh yeah, final one. News this week, Angry Birds. You've got one. Oh, what do you mean?
Another one.
Yeah, you've just shown it on the main chat. I can just see it pop up. Okay, well, this will be the penultimate story. Angry Birds has now exceeded 200 million downloads across all platforms and across all versions. 200 million. That's scary numbers. That basically means it's getting to the point where you could say Angry Birds to anyone. And then know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I did that the other day, and they didn't know what I was talking about.
Well, who did you do it to?
Who was I telling? Someone I used to live with. I was saying, I've been for a meal with Chilingo, and they were saying, what have they published? And I said, Angry Birds, and they hadn't heard of it. And so, I cut them out of my life forever.
Well, I don't understand. Okay, well, that's proven my theory wrong. Anyway, that's those 200 million downloads. That includes the free versions, not the three versions. That wouldn't make any sense.
It includes all the different versions. It includes all the Rio and the seasons and all different platforms. So, yeah. But it's still obviously a lot.
It is a lot.
I remember when there's someone at Google who said, oh, we're going to help them do 100 million downloads, and we all laughed and said, what an idiot. who's laughing now?
Yeah. I remember when we passed up signing them. Oh no, that was the Beatles. Right, yes. Yeah, so what's the final news story? I'm afraid of starting up this video that you've linked to.
Why?
Because then because you'll all hear it. Oh yeah, I could mute. I could guess. I'm tired, all right, guys.
Even you knew it, the internet, Will. Is this all new to you?
Why don't people want to listen to the great music?
Well, they won't be able to hear it. You guys will be able to hear it. They won't.
Why not?
Because it doesn't record.
You've got to do it on Skype.
It just doesn't record.
So, like, Keith, put the music on and sing along to it, and we'll just hear Keith singing along to the hood music.
I can't sing to that. That's some rap rubbish right now.
You can rap. You said you could rap. You said you do the Kylie Minogue rap.
Yeah, this is rap circa 1991 though, where it was a little bit more easy to do.
So
and less about guns and violence and more about, you know, Kylie Minogue. So,
Gameloft have just thrown up a new teaser trailer for their new game called 9mm.
Yeah, that doesn't.
It's funny because there was a film, wasn't there, called 9mm with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's not.
I don't think it has any relation.
Nothing to do with that. No.
No, that's a nasty film.
Yeah.
This is, looks quite a nice game.
This looks like Grand Theft Auto. This looks
nice. Doesn't it? Without the cars, or kind of with cars, but not.
It looks nice.
Do you think?
Oh, no. I disagree. It looks like... I wish Gameloft would improve their damn models on the characters.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the nice textures on the tiles and, you know...
Yeah,
the walls and the concrete.
I agree. The textures are good. The models are a bit blocky.
Again. I mean, they're never...
See, but you see this? This here, you see, links in... This looks to me like, you know, the kind of thing that you'd have got on PS2 10 years ago. So.
Yeah.
And as I said before, Will decided he wasn't going to do his job properly. I don't go in for all these console-esque games on iPhone. It doesn't compute for me.
Mm. Well, it didn't. I mean, it's a nice video, but it doesn't really show. I mean, the gameplay looks, it's effectively like a third person shooter, isn't it? The only bit of the gameplay they've shown is kind of like modern combat.
No, it's like... third person. It's third person, not first.
Yeah, well, modern combat was third person, wasn't it?
No, that was Brothers in Arms 2.
Was it? Okay.
Mm.
Looks like actually when he's running around shooting, that looks like True Crime or something. It looks like a poor GTA.
Yeah, like a bad GTA. Although to be fair, it looks a little bit like Gangster. even. It's basically just another Gangster game, but with just a different name. Yeah, but there we go. So that's breaking news as we record. It's coming out. When is it coming out? Available soon on iPhone, iPad, Android, smartphones, and tablets. Anyway, yes, welcome back, listeners. I haven't yet got a new tune. I should really at some point. Honestly, I will. But this is our new section called What's New?
Pussycat.
What's new?
What's new iPhone? Anyway, so what's new? What is new? Let's look at the latest releases that came out this week. Chaos Rings Omega is out this week. I'll be talking about that in a bit more detail later, so I'm not going to talk much about it now. But suffice to say, it's the sequel, but it's a prequel to Chaos Rings. So stay tuned for my full review coming up in a bit. Also out this week is Storm in a Teacup, which is one of Chillingo's new releases. This is Cobra Mobile developing this one. I got to see this at Chillingo's preview event recently. It's a very nice looking game. It's a platformer, quite cartoony, 40 levels, lots of badges, quite traditional. And you play a guy called Storm who sits in a teacup. Exactly.
Yeah, it looks quite nice, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's not a game that's going to surprise anyone, but the art style is very nice, so it's, you know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... I suspect it'll be a pleasant game. Mm. I only played for levels...
Pleasant
game. I mean, like, sort of game that won't offend.
That's not going to make it onto the App Store if you call it pleasant.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a bad thing to say.
Play this game, it's very, very pleasant.
It's about a guy in a teacup. Surely pleasant is the ideal word that you're looking for.
No, it's raw and exciting. I don't know about you, Will, but I'm very, very excited about them coming to iPhone.
Surely good with a slice of lemon would be the appropriate.
Do you drink tea with lemon? Disgusting. Anyway, what else is coming out? Oh, Casey's Contraptions. You know about that, John.
Yeah, very good. That's out. Very enjoyable. The Incredible Machine. The Incredible Machine kind of style game. Kind of physics. Kind of placing objects, so interesting things happen. But very, very good social elements. That's the main. It's very, again, kind of very well presented. Very pleasant. But the really cool thing about it is the social elements, where you can save your solution to any of the levels and then like share it on Game Center and make your own levels. And yeah, very, very polished. Highly, highly recommended for people who like those kind of games.
Well, as also Bumpy Road. Which Mike Rose started getting excited about. Good old Mike. it's described as a love story on four wheels.
That's good. That sounds a little bit wrong to me.
There's it's what the hell? Rob's write-up of this is interesting. It involves pushing piano key like sections of a road up with your finger to propel an aging couple along in their vintage car. Negotiating platform sections and collecting items. That sounds nice.
That sounds very pleasant, that.
There's three modes. Evergreen Ride, which is an endless mode. Sunday Trip, which is like a time attack. And Memory Lane, which lets you see your life story. This sounding...
You know when I said I don't like console games on iPhone? I think I might be coming round to them now. If this is...
Oh, you're such a cynical man. Anyway, if you want to learn about life and drive a car across pianos, bumpy roads up. And finally, what's new and notable? Candy Train. It's a PopCap release, which is usually means something.
It's not though, is it? It's not a PopCap release,
isn't it?
It's their
PopCap Puzzler.
It's their label, isn't it?
Oh, is it another one of theirs? The one of no.
It's a Fourth and Battery, I think.
Oh, is it Fourth and Battery? Mm. Oh, I take it back then.
PopCap release.
No.
So like they have this big thing about, oh yeah, we're starting this new kind of really really kind of cutting edge, edgy new label. They do one game that keeps getting banned and they get into loads of trouble about it, and then they do another one that's an old PopCap game that they just remake and put out for free.
Well, yeah, it's also just Pipe Mania.
Yeah, Pipe Mania is good.
Pipe Mania was good back in my...
I didn't actually ever really like
Pipe Mania.
Did you not?
No.
Okay.
There's just something about it I didn't like. I didn't like the character on the front cover. That was one thing I didn't like. I know, that sounds petty. Anyway. Yes, yeah, so Candy Train is out and it's free. So, you know, it doesn't matter if it's bad or not. You can download it and check it out. But someone's already reviewed it and they've given it 5 stars. Well, this is on the App Store review, so you don't have to pay any attention to these.
Me. They sent me cake, so I gave him a good review.
You gave a bad review to someone who sent you cake. Anyway, she didn't get around to sending you any cake. Anyway, let's go to question time.
Question time. Are you going to use the question time music?
I may try and find it. Yes.
Do you have to license that? Will we have documents rushed over from the BBC?
Less than 15 seconds of a license song on a podcast is okay. As long as you don't charge money for the podcast, I think. At least that was the rules I was told ages ago.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Anyway, our question this week comes from long-time listener of the podcast, Kevin. Hello, Kevin. Right, yes, I'll go straight on to the question. Do you think developers, publishers, that's with a slash in between, are getting a bit money hungry with a freemium model? As in, more money hungry than normal, says the consumer side of the website. But of course, I'm talking to two on the business side, and the only thing they see is money. They don't see fun. about products and franchise.
By the way, Will, the check bounced for last week's podcast. So, you know, we've...
They only care about giving you the very best, listeners. Yes.
Well, no, it's a good question, isn't it?
It is a good question because it's been a while now since freemium was introduced. Well, say a while. It's been about a year.
But, you know, that doesn't actually say freemium. Is that intended? What he's written there?
It does say freemium. It just says with the freemium model.
No. It says freemium.
Oh, you're
he's
such
a stickler, isn't he?
No, I thought that might be intentional. You know, he's saying, you know, fee.
Oh, I see.
Fee. Double, you know, is meaning. Is that
I'm
intentional?
I'm pretty sure he intended freemium. And I, you know, I can't believe you just... Oh.
Well, maybe that's you, Will. You've written that out. And because it does look like, you know, that's the kind of mistake you might make.
Should we just answer the question?
Yeah, I think we should.
Killing each other.
Yes. So has it got worse? Well, money hungry. I don't know if that's worse.
Well, I think it's an interesting question because for the Farmville type style of games, then it's just, you know, it's part of the DNA of those games, isn't it? That you just kind of expect. I kind of think the thing that is more kind of causing controversy is games like, say, Infinity Blade or Gun Brothers, which is something you mentioned. You know, Gun Brothers, you didn't really have to pay that amount of much money. You know, you could just pretty much play it.
Yeah, well, no, he says he enjoyed Gun Brothers because it didn't make him feel like he had to buy any of the unamps, but he's mentioned Metal Storm, which just came out by name, as being one which does push it really hard. And I have to agree with him, because I did play Metal Storm earlier on in the week, and it's just kind of like it is trying to force you to buy stuff almost.
But is it free to download that?
Oh yeah, of course it's freemium.
Well, yeah, see that's the thing. I think a lot of the freemium ones that use in-app purchases and so forth actually kind of get it a bit wrong, and it's some of the ones you have to pay for that then have in-app purchases as a kind of bonus that mean they don't rely on it, because you know they've got your money anyway, so they can add it to, you know, add extra things. Whereas the freemium games, which, you know, essentially need you to do this, then therefore they run the risk of making it unplayable without it.
I think the issue is very much like the balance. I mean, I would kind of think, not that I didn't notice at all, but like for Gun Brothers, which I equally did enjoy, because you didn't feel like really at any point you were forced to spend money. I kind of imagine that the publisher Glue felt they balanced it the wrong way, because certainly when they had another game that came out called Big Time Gangsters, and that was much more like you played it for like an hour or hour and a half, maybe 2 hours if you're slow like me, and then suddenly you did hit you hit a very definite kind of plateau where you have to grind for like a couple of hours to get what you need, or you're gonna have to spend some money. So I think it's quite difficult to get that perception right, so people feel, yeah, because basically for that game, even for that game, you got like 2 hours free play, you know, and then then the decision was you either stop playing or you pay some more. Whereas hardcore guys just get annoyed about that, I think.
Do you think there are some games that when the developers are thinking about making them, and you know, they obviously decide whether they're gonna charge for it outright or whether they're gonna go the freemium route, do you think there are some getting that decision wrong? Cause, I mean, it's not iPhone, but I played a game for Will the other day on Java where it was, I think it was free on a...
Yeah, it was free to download, yeah.
And then it was kind of full with these kind of pop-ups that if you wanted to post a score on its scoreboards, you had to pay via a text message. And it's a really good game. I really enjoyed it, actually. And I just thought that was such a strange decision that, you know, I would have happily paid money to play this game and not have these random pop-ups.
Well, it's partly the model is, and I've heard developers kind of say this, that if you make a game and just charge, you know, a certain sum of money, as soon as you charge a certain sum of money, some people won't download it, because even if it's like 99 cents, I'll just go, I'm not interested in it. Whereas if it's free, you know, there's no people, it's more a question of just getting people to find it out, it's out there. But say you do make a game and you make it free, and then people are just, and there's, you basically balance it in a lovely way, so people can just play it almost for, so say you make a game for 99 cents, and then pretty much everything inside it is kind of free, then some people might play that game every day for like 3 hours. They might, you know, they might do hundreds of hours. They might love your game, it's the best game ever. But for the developer, they can't monetize that user who absolutely...
You've used the M word.
Yeah, monetize. Well, I'm going to use another word. So and then they call them whales. So basically, some people love the game so much that they just want to... They want everything in that game. So, which is why you have games now where the in-app purchase, the top amount you can buy is like $99. And people will do it. Not many people, but some people will just go into basically a free game and spend like $100 on buying gold so they can like trick out their character. And they're not stealing their dad's credit card or something. These are people who, you know, have $100 to spend, and that's what they want to do. So that's part of the reason why people like the in-app purchase model, is because they know they can get more money for the people who really love their game.
And do you think those same people though wouldn't have bought the game if it was like $5 or something? What, yeah.
No, they would have done, but they wouldn't have spent, they wouldn't have bought it. If a game was $100, no one would buy it. So it's a case of having different, you know, of working out. It's all kind of like marketing strategy. But basically, there are some people, most people won't want to pay anything. Some people want to pay a little bit, and a few people will want to pay loads. So you want to make sure you're hitting all those different kind of market groups, which is why, you know, basically, yeah, with IMAX and stuff, you know, you get the white one, which is basically the cheap one, and then if you want the black one, it's like $200 more, and you get a faster hard drive and a bit more RAM. I mean, yeah, you're paying because it's black, basically, because you're the kind of person who wants a black Mac rather than a white one. Yes.
I've become slightly lost over there. Yeah. well, personally, as a gamer point of view, I think it's sickening. And I don't mind just paying up front for a game. I know there are a lot of people that just download for free, but they're not real gamers.
Says Will.
Yeah.
He'd ban them. You're not allowed to.
I would do more than just ban them. I would destroy them.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Well, not destroy them in a nasty way.
Oh, in a nice way. In a nice way.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for your question, Kevin.
What strange.
I hope you I hope you enjoyed our answer. And if any of you out there who have all...
You're meant to make them up, Will.
No. If you want to get your question answered on next week's podcast, then send me a question at will.wilson... No, yeah, will.wilson at steelmedia.co.uk. And yeah, and if you're the lucky chosen person, I will read out your question. Anyway, what's up next? Oh, yes, it's time for the What We've Been Playing Fields.
What we've been playing!
I'm going to stop. Oh, what a surprise.
Go on,
everyone.
Get on with it.
All right, okay. Right, this
Will,
week...
Will, I've got a question. Why are you really tired?
I'm really tired because it's funny you should say that, actually. Or ask that. I'm really tired because I've been playing hours and hours and hours of Chaos Rings Omega for the review because it's a big game. I wanted to get the review up today, so I have literally been playing it since release. Well, not literally. I went to bed for a few hours. Literally a few hours, though. I was like in bed at 5 a.m. It was released at 12. Anyway, so there's enough of me moaning.
I thought you were gonna divulge some glamorous industry party you'd been to, or you know.
I went to a Zelda
some great anecdote. You know.
I did come back from an industry party last night, but when I got back, I downloaded Chaos Rings Omega. I wrote up a Ocarina of Time preview, and then I started playing that, and then didn't stop until my eyes literally couldn't keep open. A lot of literallys there, and then I played it all the way through today, so hopefully my review is as accurate as possible. Well, it should be anyway. Bloody well should be. I spent ages on that game. In any case, the main thing you want to take away from Chaos Rings Omega is if you played the original, thought it was good, but probably don't want to play any more of it and want a new experience, don't get Chaos Rings Omega. Because it is... the original again. It has a new plot. This is fair enough. It has new characters. And the plot's actually quite good. It takes a while to get into it. At the start of the plot, it does feel awfully like you're playing the original again. Because it starts in exactly the same way. But then it curves off. And it has the most unpregnant woman I've ever seen anywhere. Unpregnant. She's meant to be almost going into labor.
Oh, I see. Right.
But she's so thin. It's like...
And you, Will only hangs around with pregnant ladies.
What, you're suggesting she was concave? So it's like... instead of being pregnant, she was just like...
Oh, no, not like that. No.
That was really
she
odd.
Just looks like we're like a really thin supermodel, like size 6 or whatever it is. Size 0, no, that's it.
She was pregnant, but she'd surrogated out her baby to...
She was meant to be just about to go into labor. And she actually... I'm not going to give away a spoiler... But anyway, yes, so she's meant to be heavily pregnant, and she's so damn thin. And also her mum is meant to be, obviously, she's got to be at least, let's say, 16 years older than her. Or no, there's got to be, yeah, about, let's say 16 or 17 years, minimum, right, okay? There's no way her mum is over 1 year older than her. I mean, on the portrait, she just looks like her sister, and it's a little bit disturbing. And the whole of the start of the game, I was sitting there thinking, this is really weird. Anyway, enough about uncomfortable character design. The actual game itself is still fun. It's still a good Japanese RPG. It starts off slowly, but it really kicks into... it really fits into place the battle mechanics as you go through the game. And the choosing between whether you want to use two characters or one character to attack becomes a lot more sort of... There's more thought behind it as you go through and you get all the powers and all the magic and you start playing with other characters and stuff. But it's exactly the same as the first game. Even the maps, the first couple of worlds are exactly the same worlds as the first game. I mean, couldn't they have at least changed the map design around a bit? It's the same maps. You fight against the same creatures who have the same skills in the same orders. So, you know, there's a few new creatures.
You sound a bit angry, Will.
I am angry because they're charging $8.99. It's an expansion pack. It's not even a full game, really. If you've played the original, unless you're a massive fan, if you are a massive fan, then yeah, definitely pick it up. It's a good game. And if you've never played Chaos Rings the original, play Chaos Rings the original instead because it's cheaper, like £6 cheaper than them. But everyone else, I mean, you know, I don't know. Oh, it feels like a big old... I was hoping it would start kicking off and going into a different direction and introducing something really new. But it never did. So it's still a good game, but it's the same game. And unfortunately, that's not going to get a 9. So yeah, you'll have to see what score it gets on the website.
Cheese.
Cheese?
You'll have to see what it gets. We're on the edge of their seats.
Yeah. Cliffhanger on next week's podcast episode.
Previously.
And the other game I've been playing this week, I haven't played that much of it. I'm about a third of the way through the game, is Spoing.
Oh, our favourite. We've been talking about this for ages.
Didn't you talk about this last week?
I spoke about it the week before as well. Spoing always seems to come up.
You've got a sponsorship, do you?
No, because I'm not going to say it's the best game I've ever played. I mean, this Spoing's now been released, so this is my review. I'm writing the review for it. I've played it a little bit more now. You do get to draw a lot more platforms than I was led to believe in the preview, but I still don't like it. No. I think primarily the reason why I don't like it is because... Well, okay, one aspect I don't like. It actually penalizes you, even if you don't care about achievements, to make achievements harder. Now, that sounds cryptic, but if you imagine when you're pulling back Spoing on his string to leap him onto the next platform, if you die once, then you get a guideline showing you where he's going to land, sort of like a vague one, you know, dots going up and then round, show the path. But only if you die once, because if you die once, then you can't get a green tick on the level. And if you don't get green ticks on levels, you can't unlock a crystal achievement. I don't give a damn about crystal achievements. It would be nice if I could see where I was shooting this thing, because half the time, you know, he's bouncing around on the damn string and I don't know where he's going to land.
It's a fairly straightforward thing, is it, to have the little guide?
Yes. And it's removed from you because they want to make the achievement harder. I don't give a damn about crystal achievements.
You don't give a damn, do you? You're really angry. Cool.
I don't want to
him up. Yeah. Keith, what have you been playing? Quick, before he explodes.
Anyway.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I've spoken
about... You're on the podcast, Keith, are you? That's all right.
No, I was just arguing with a Labour MP on my Twitter account, so I was a little bit distracted there.
Oh, hark at him.
Look at him. He's got a hotline to the Prime Minister.
I'm going straight to the press.
Not a Labour MP, if it's a Prime Minister.
No, actually, good point. He's got a hotline to the councillor. What have you been up to, John? I'm going to sneak out while you're doing this, by the way, so don't ask me any questions. I'm going to be back in a second, though.
I can get around my usual... I've not been playing anything this week because I'm really busy. Because I have been playing some things this week. So I've been playing a little bit of two things. One is a game that's kind of been knocking around various websites for a while. It's called Deadlock. And it's a top-down kind of deathmatchy type shooter game. I think vaguely people are calling it Call of Duty meets Mini Gore, which I guess gets across. Keith's very excited. It gets across some of the what's going on there, but basically it's various modes. You have just all in all deathmatch, team deathmatch. I think it's like a capture the flag type mode as well. And it's a twin stick, kind of top down. Aside from the online socialness of it, I think the kind of main point is the armory, where you kind of unlock loads of different real weapons, which all have different kind of fire rates and reloads and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, that's a bit of a way off. I think this it's not even in beta yet, so there's a few builds of it that are knocking around. But it's not really you can kind of play with bots, which just basically hang around in big lumps and kill you. So it's hard to tell exactly how good it'll be because there's not really any servers up where actual people are playing, which is obviously the most important thing for an online game. So there's that, and there's a game which is out next Thursday, which is Tower Defense Lost Earth, which, as you might imagine, is a tower defense game. And interestingly, it's finally come to us, the Korean developer who have owned the copyright, or the, not the copyright, have owned the trademark on tower defense and have forced everyone else to not use the term tower defense and use the term TD instead, have finally come out with their tower defense game. Well, no, that's why it's for copyrights. That's like about, because like Bloons tower defense became Bloons TD and various other things. So, but anyway, they finally come up with a tower defense game, and I've only played the first like 5 or 6 levels. As you imagine, it's a tower defense game. It's quite nice. It's very Korean in the sense that it's kind of sprite based, very colourful, kind of fantasy, sci-fi type setting. I'm not really got far enough in to know exactly how it differs from standard tower defense. I mean, there's a few things where there's kind of, obviously you're protecting your base from streams of enemies by placing towers and upgrading them. There seem to be like a bit more to do with kind of obstacles in the, or kind of other objects in the environment which aren't necessarily to do with the enemies which you can use or which kind of can obstruct you. And then it has kind of different power-ups, so you can, things like a nuclear bomb that you can drop and kind of airstrikes and that kind of thing. So I wouldn't particularly say at the moment it's going to revolutionise the world of tower defence, but it seems to be quite a well put together tower defence, if slightly Korean, in that kind of, kind of sprightly. And then actually the really weird thing is, so, you know, like you have, they've obviously done it, I guess, for size reasons in terms of the size of the game. But the little sprites are kind of like side on, you know, like you'd expect on a 2D kind of game. But then when they go take a right angle to kind of walk what would be up the screen, there's not a sprite for their back of the character. So they just basically just, the sprite just basically just goes up and without changing its orientation, which I just found really odd for the first time it happened. I don't know, but maybe that's what they do. I don't know. I just thought really strange. Anyway. Yeah, so that's what I've been playing.
Sounds interesting.
There's a big silence there. There's a bit like, oh, what's he going on about again? It's like,
did you hear how noisy Will was when he came back there?
What do you mean when he came back?
Did you not hear him come back?
What do you mean he went away? I was so boring. He left.
He said before he started speaking he was off.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he came back like a teenager tripping over all of his toys and stuff in his bedroom.
My toys?
The toys in your bedroom?
I don't have toys in my bedroom. They are genuine robots.
Yeah, no, that sounded funny when I said it, but I thought I'd carry on.
Okay, Keith, what toys have you been playing with?
I've been playing a game that John tells me everyone else hates.
Did I?
Really?
You did, yeah. You know, a few hours ago. You can't remember? No.
What game's that?
I've been playing a game based on the Evil Dead series of films, which
I...
Everyone
else not Pocket Gamer. Yes. No, other...
Yeah.
Other
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, not, yeah. Not you guys. Not you.
I thought you meaning us. My...
The rest of the world. Those are, you know, are enemies. Don't like it. But I quite like it. And I quite like it because, well, it's not strictly actually. It's a castle versus castle kind of, except you don't actually have to take down their castle. But it's the same kind of structure where all their enemies spawn and start coming towards you, and you have to equip yourself with your troops and send them out to try and stop them. But it's really simple. It's much more simple than the other ones I've played. And it's not the best one I've ever played, but it's so kind of straightforward that you can't help but get a little bit addictive. And it's the first game I've actually purchased in-app purchases on, just because I was enjoying it that much. So it's even though the rest of the world might appear to hate it, I quite like it. And it's kind of, I have no idea, I've never seen the film. It's based on, I haven't even said what it's called, have I? It's called Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness, yes.
Something else. Army of Darkness Defense. And it's got all the, I'm assuming all the little sound clips in it are kind of taken from the movie in it. It's kind of a little bit lighthearted, but it's ridiculously addictive, actually. And even though they all take place, every single battle takes place on exactly the same map, it doesn't really matter.
But I think that's kind of the point, isn't it? Because I know a lot of these other reviews, so Keith's given it 8, and 148 Apps has given it 8.6, and everyone else has given it less than that, including some people have given it 5, which is fairly low, isn't it? But I think the whole point of having seen a little bit of the film is that in the film, he's defending a castle, as in a single castle, from the undead. That's the whole point at the end of the film. So the whole point is, you wouldn't have other levels, because that wouldn't fit into the license, because in the license he's defending one castle. He's not going, oh, here's the lava castle and let's go now to the ice castle. I mean, it just seems ridiculous that you complain about that.
This is probably the kind of research I should have done before reviewing it, but either way, I quite liked it. Doesn't really matter. But if you think about it, all the other kind of castle versus castle thing, all they're essentially doing is changing the backdrop. It doesn't really change much. And so, and it's quite inventive. You know, there are actual defense you can put on the castle walls that fire arrows and fire various things at them. And it's just very, and it is kind of perhaps slightly a little too much geared towards you using in-app purchases, but not because that makes it any easier, just because it makes it a little bit more fun, to be honest. Mm. But it was sufficiently fun that I didn't actually mind doing that, and I'm quite a tight person, so the fact that I was quite happy to, I think I probably spent about £8 actually.
Did you have to put money up front as well for the game?
Oh yeah. I think it's not
what?
Free. What? No, as I was saying before, because of that, the way they've kind of implemented it, maybe it looks a little bit too much geared towards, but actually what they've done is essentially said, if you like playing this, you can actually get the more explosive elements of the game that don't actually make it much easier, but just make it a little bit more fun to play if you shell out a bit of extra cash. And I think it's worth doing so. And I think the lowest one is 59p. So it's not, you know, it's not as if you're going to have to spend £5.
I don't like the fact that it's just that you paid for a game already.
I don't mind that because in a sense you know, if you're enjoying it that much, you're then investing in it, aren't you? And it I don't think it, if it was awful, I wouldn't have done it, you know. So
why don't you have a little experiment where next this week you buy Army of Darkness Defense and then play it, and then you can tell us how much you spent on in-app purchases next week.
I won't like it.
Also, I'm playing a game that Keith has also played at the moment.
Why are you playing?
Checking. I'm not going to tell you.
Are you just playing it for fun?
Yeah.
What, something I've reviewed? Because I don't play things for fun, so it must be.
I'm not gonna reveal the name. No. Just. I can't remember if it is one of your reviews. No, I'm checking. I'm checking a game. I'm not. It's one that hasn't been published yet. So.
Well, yes, I've been playing that, and I've also been playing. But I mentioned this last week. I've been playing Siege Hero, which I actually loved so much. I completed off my own back, regardless of the review.
That may be the game I'm checking.
Well, that's probably actually the most enjoyable game I've played this year on iPhone. So it's that gets an endorsement for me. I think it's actually better than Angry Birds and all of the other Angry Birds type games. It's probably the best one I've played. So it's been a second week in a row where I've actually enjoyed doing my job.
That sounds so bad.
There's going to be a load of listeners now thinking,
actually, no, that's not true, because I quite enjoy when I get a bad game. I quite like being quite nasty. So either way, I win, you know.
The what is it? Siege Hero is made by Armor Games, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
It's one there. Is it one of their flash games, isn't it? Or is it not? It's got to be, surely. Yeah.
Yeah, all the games are flash.
They were the ones behind Crush the Castle.
Yep, that's right. Mm. It's better than that.
Yeah, Crush the Castle was rubbish. I still don't know why people get very angry about it. Like, oh, Angry Birds, it's just Crush the Castle again. It's not. Crush the Castle was crap. Sorry, that's my own opinion. Well, you know. Anyway, enough about me ranting. I don't know what it is about the podcast. I'm not usually this aggressive. Usually, anyway. If someone starts getting on my nerves. Anyway, yes. Thank you very much for listening. You didn't get on my nerves because I can't hear you or see you. And let's keep it that way, yeah? I've been your host, Will Wilson. That person who last spoke before them was Keith Andrew, and the one who spoke before that last person was John Jordan. We will be back next week.
I won't be.
No, John won't be.
Who else are we having?
I don't know. Who was in cage number 26 last time you were down there?
Last time I was down there?
Yeah, you were down there the other week, weren't you?
I think it was you, to be honest.
The rotor said you were feeding them.
No, I think you were in the cage, but let's not go there.
Oh, that was no, that's not in the main hall. No, the main hall, the main cage hall where we keep all the, you know. Who is in number 26?
I don't know.
Answer the question!
I don't know. I'm thinking too many other things right now. I don't know.
Okay. Well, whoever's in cage number 26 at the moment, we'll get them in to do the podcast with us. That'd be fine. I'm sure they're all right. They'll probably might be a bit, you know, bit now suffering from malnutrition, but never mind. Anyway, where are we going with this? Doesn't matter. Yes, we'll have someone else on. And it'll be great. And we'll be back on the Friday, most likely, with all the latest news and reviews. And do send in your questions to will.wilson@stillmedia.co.uk. And I look forward to reading them. And if you'll pick them, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, thank you. Hey. Thank you for listening. Bye. Anyone else going to say goodbye? Or is it just me?
You do my voice.
Goodbye. Goodbye from Keith.
That's what I do. I say my name when I'm saying goodbye to
people. Keith says goodbye. Sorry. Yes, goodbye from us. Bye-bye.